This is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. And he called to him the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey, except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Where you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. And if any place will not receive you, and they refuse to hear you, when you leave, shake off the dust that's on your feet." So they went out and preached repentance, and they cast out demons and anointed with oil those that were sick and healed them. The Gospel of Mark doesn't mess around. No wonderfully edifying stories about babies in mangers, no angels announcing what was happening, no oddly amusing stories about recalcitrant boys in the temple. John the Baptist shows up, says he's coming. He shows up, does a couple of miracles, and then he gathers a few folks, 12 to be exact, and says, "Go get them." He sends them out. Without a big, long list of instructions, he basically sends them out to be who they were created to be and to, while they were out there, figure out what needs to be done. He sends them out two by two. He tells them to travel light. And when things go south, he says, "Shake it off." And that's it. That's the instruction manual. Grab a partner, travel light, shake it off. That's it. And off they go. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Why did he do that? Why did he give them very little specific instruction, but rather simply put them in a position where they would figure out what needed to happen next? Two by two is sort of inefficient in a way. I mean, he only had 12. If he'd sent them out one by one, they could have gone 12 places to figure out what their calling was about. Instead, he sent them out two by two, where you could only go to 6 places with 2 of you together. But I think he did that for 2 reasons. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. That a partnership is 2 people individually, but it also is the partnership. And when 2 are working together, one can pick the other up. How does that work in practice? Well, I get a lot of sermon ideas when I work out, and I get a lot of sermon ideas when I go to a Flatlanders concert. This last week, the Flatlanders as a group were inducted into the West Texas Walk of Fame. Now, all 3, Joe Ely and Jimmy Dale Gilmore and Butch Hancock, are on that walk individually, but this time they're on there as a group. And that makes a lot of sense to me. When you go to a Flatlanders concert, you hear not only the singing of each one and the playing of each one, you get the blend of Butch Hancock's unique way of using words with Joe Ely's showmanship and guitar skill, along with Jimmy Dale Gilmore's voice. And when the 3 are together, well, there's a magic that doesn't happen individually. So the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. He sent them out two by two. But even individually, there's an interesting insight there. I was asking Jeannie, as we were in the run-up to the concert, I said, "You know, I wonder how long these guys are going to be playing, because they're kind of getting up there. And I wonder what they would do if they weren't doing that." And she said, well, first of all, she said, "Yeah, they're getting up there, but they're pretty close to up there like you are. And you would continue too, because that's who you are." She asked me, she said, "What would you do if you didn't have a room full of people giving you their undivided attention?" Well, more or less undivided attention. I feed off that, and it's how I do what I'm called to do. And I'll keep doing it until it doesn't make any sense to keep doing it. And I guess that's what they're about, too. And one of the ways I think they keep doing it is they rely on each other in an interesting kind of way. When you go to a Flatlanders concert, you see them trade off songs. It's almost like they're sitting around a campfire and one goes, "Oh, I got one." And then, "Oh, I got another one." Here's, you end up essentially going to a third of 3 concerts because they pick each other up. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. They pick each other up, and that's how they keep going for maybe longer than they would individually. He sent them out two by two, partners. to hold one another and to hold one another up. And then, he said, travel light. And he was very specific. Wear sandals and only one tunic. Now, I take that both literally for them, but also metaphorically for us. And as we're about our daily business of being who we are where God put us, and with the skills that God gave us, what weighs us down? What weighs us down? What weighs us down, I think, and what makes us more weary is not the stuff that happens to us, but how we interpret it and hold on to it. I think what weighs us down is guilt, and I think what weighs us down is fear. Fear that we will screw it up like we did the last time, and when we're back into this cycle, right? Well, the one thing that Jesus says repeatedly and relentlessly is, you've got another chance. He gives Peter a number, 70 times 7. You've got to forgive 490 times because God is at least that relentless with you. And that's a metaphor, too. Every time you get it wrong, you get another chance to get it right. And when we're on our guilt trip and we've packed our bags and are weighed down with all of that stuff, there's a consistent message from the New Testament where Jesus says it's not about the worst day, it's about the next day. And there's even a story in the New Testament where after having been out, the disciples come back and they said, we couldn't cure the guy. Can you do it? And Jesus does and says, hold on. Because of your lack of faith in yourself. So guilt weighs us down and it's met by the relentless and unfailing next chance. How do we know? What makes us fear not? The voice of Jesus coming through the storm. Maybe the most human story in the New Testament is when the disciples are in a boat and the storm hits and they're scared. Jesus is nowhere around. And yet he comes to them walking on the sea. I mean, I love the way the author of this put together story, myth, and metaphor. He's walking through the storm, doing what nobody else can do on the water. Peter says, hey, let me come out there with you. And Jesus goes, all right, try it. And he starts to sink. But Jesus pulls him up. So he's meeting us in the storms that have been created around us and then also pulls us out of the drink from our own stupidity. That's good news. And of course, the first words he says is, fear not. You're not alone. Oh, wait a minute, that's right. You sent us out two by two. Fear not, for I am with you. So he sends us out two by two, asks us to travel light, to dispense with the guilt and look ahead for the next chance, and to fear not, because you're not alone. And I love this last little bit of advice. You know, it's not always going to go well. You're going to run into people that will tell you to get lost. That's fine. Shake the dust off. They'll get it eventually. You got a lot of time and things will circle around. Shake it off. And that sounds like a coach. You know, when you get beaned, shake it off. Rub some dirt on it. Get them next time. It's helpful for me to know that Hall of Fame baseball players get hits 1 out of 3 times. I can do 1 out of 10. There's a lot more that you'll get wrong than you'll get right. But there's always the next day. There's always the next pitch. Shake it off. Rub some dirt on it. And shake that off. And move forward. It all comes together for me at a Flatlanders concert. If I could hear just one more song one more time, it would be Butch Hancock's great set of lyrics and Jimmy Dale Gilmore's unique voice in the song One Road More. It's not a well-known song. And I can sing it, but nobody can sing it like Jimmy Dale Gilmore, so I'm not going to try. I will put the recording of it on the website next to this sermon, and we'll read to you a portion of the lyrics as though Butch Hancock wrote a poem, which in fact he did, called One Road More. And it's more about a pair of shoes. Well, it's more about a pair of feet, actually, but catch it. Well, my old shoes are laying on the floor, because I ain't going to wear them no more. They took me many miles down many hard roads, but that's what shoes are for. The time has flown, and And I've outgrown every shoe I ever wore. And I guess my bare feet will have to carry me one road more. Well, I've walked through the city streets in the sun and the rain and the wind and the snow. And I've walked through the mountains and the valleys when there was nowhere else to go. This time I'll just follow the wind, and it can blow and the rain can pour. And my bare feet are going to have to carry me one road more. And the last word is the chorus that repeats throughout the song. Well, at the end of this one last road, they say there's always an open door. And I guess my bare feet will have to carry me one road more. The open door. The open door on the other side of which are people that have been there and done that. That opens anew each day or each week. And through that open door are the challenges and opportunities that come and go, that cycle and resurface, that hit us broadside and are brand new. At the end of this one last road, they say there's always an open door to which we go to the next lame, boring meeting, I don't know. The next opportunity we didn't know existed, the next challenge that hits us broadside. And through that open door, we find not only whatever it is that's out there to where we must go, we find a partner. He sent us out 2 by 2, remember? And of course, that can be 10 by 10. And out there, we find a relentless second chance. And through that open door, we find the answer to the promise that he left us with when he said the last thing he ever said to any of us, I am with you always. There's always an open door. And through that open door is the next one who will walk with you one road more. Amen.